Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 4. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. This is the text. Last Sunday, I had a few minutes before the voters' meeting, so I took a look at the appointed lessons for the week to get a head start on Monday morning. As many of you know, I like to write my sermons on Monday and have them done by noon on Tuesday. That's sort of my arbitrary deadline I give myself because you never know how the week will unfold. The opening verses in Jeremiah caught my attention. The youth of our church are capable of deep and abiding faith. I thought of our confirmation class. I thought about the baptism that we're going to have in 2 weeks for Addison Buss. What a perfect text that would be. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Then I looked at the epistle lesson and heard those words that were read at my wedding and many other weddings. Love is patient and kind. Monday night, tomorrow night, I am beginning to meet with the couples who are going to be getting married this coming year. And they're going to join with our new member class and do some of the sessions together, as a lot of the material that I do overlaps. And so we're starting that tomorrow, and so that was in the forefront of my mind also. And reading that text from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, I was reminded of my own wedding vows, which is something I encourage all of you to do, at least every now and then. One of the great parts of being a pastor is that I get to speak my confirmation vows and my wedding vows over and over again. It helps you stay grounded. These vows are strong words. Then I read about Jesus casting out the demons. And we hear of what he's doing there in the synagogue in Capernaum. Talk about strong words. The people in Capernaum are amazed at the authority with which Jesus spoke. This man speaks with strong words, not like those teachers of the law. I also pondered focusing on the house of Peter's mother-in-law. When we were there in Capernaum, that's one of the cool places in all of Israel because they found this house. They have done the archaeological dig. It's all excavated. It's done as much as they're going to do because it's there. The floors, the walls. And now they've built a church up over the top of it. And up in the center of the church, they have an opening where you can look through plexiglass down into it so nothing falls down in there. But you can see the actual place where Jesus and the disciples were. This house in Capernaum became the church. It was the place where the Christian church in Capernaum gathered for years. And that was Peter's mother-in-law's house. There was so much to preach on in these three lessons. So I made a few notes, and then I went to the voters' meeting. Sunday night, actually Monday morning, about 3:30 a.m., I began to feel like Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Now, with her, Jesus came and rebuked the fever, and it left her. I could feel that I was about to become violently ill there in the wee hours of the morning, and I did. I won't describe what happened, but it wasn't pretty. But I gave my own rebuke in a way, as I could feel that I was about to get sick. And I told God, I said, God, I am too busy to be sick this week. I did. I don't know if it was in my head or audibly, but I remember as I was kneeling on the floor of the bathroom saying that. I mean, I had a lot to do this week. This was my week to get ahead, getting ready for Lent, getting ready for the Quincy Bible Institute. Instead, I spent pretty much all of Monday and most of Tuesday on the bed or on the couch. It is humbling to be in a sort of helpless state. You realize that there is nothing that you can do that will make you feel better. And no amount of self-importance will free you from certain illnesses. This reminded me of our life of sin. Sin is a plague upon mankind. As St. Paul says, the wages of sin is death. Sin is a sickness that leads to death. You were born with it. And even though God knew you from before you were formed in the womb, the sin of Adam was with you when you were born. Actually, when you were conceived, if you want to be specific. This is why sin must be dealt with. This is why children need to be baptized. This is why Christ came into the world, so that he could be the one who would deal with our sin. Because we can't. Sin is the worst of all illnesses. It is terminal. It always leads to death. This seemed to be what was happening in a physical sense for Peter's mother-in-law. However, Jesus speaks, rebukes the fever, and it left her. Now, this word, to leave, it's the same Greek word that is also translated to forgive. It's a derivative of aphiemi, one of the great and strong words of the Greek language, to forgive. It also means to leave. Because to be forgiven, it's to be separated from your sins. Your sins have left you because Jesus has rebuked them. And immediately, we are told, she rose. And yes, this is the same word used concerning Jesus on Easter morning. This is the word, anastasa, that is regarding the resurrection. Here in Luke's gospel, early in his ministry, we get a foreshadowing of this greater event to come. There is a much worse illness than a fever. And there is only one cure: the forgiveness of sin, followed by the resurrection. Sin is the disease. It must be separated from you. It must be forgiven. This is why we baptize. And what a joy it is to hear those words, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Yet because of the sin of Adam, because it makes us by nature sinful and unclean, as we have already confessed this morning, and because the wages of sin is still death, sin is not just a deadly disease, it is the deadly disease. And this is why we come and gather around the broken body and shed blood of Christ our Lord. Because it is only in his sacrifice that sin could possibly be dealt with. Keeping all of our vows, doing our best to do what is right, being the best that we can be, will not rebuke the fever of sin. Without Christ, we are helpless. The law of God pointing out the guilt of our sin, it's very humbling. And if we look honestly, we see that no amount of self-importance will triumph over that fever of sin. From the time you entered your mother's womb, you have had this fever, and there is only one cure. What a joy it is to know that God has said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Your salvation has never been in doubt. The forgiveness of sin, your sin leaving you, being separated from you as far as the east is from the west, as Scripture says, this is the heart of the gospel. The forgiveness of sin followed by the resurrection. We get a foreshadowing of that there in the house of Peter's mother-in-law. How fitting that a place where this event took place, how fitting that a place of forgiveness and the promise of the resurrection would become a church. The church is still where we come to receive that forgiveness. Have our sin separated from us and leave us. And it is here that we find the promise of the resurrection. Sin is the sickness, the fever that leads to death. Christ is the one and only cure. As he says, he is the resurrection and the life. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.